You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Calling it a public health hazard, Governor Brad Little filed a lawsuit yesterday over a tent encampment next to the Idaho State House. Now, these clusters of tents and protesters gathered on the lawn of the Idaho Capitol Annex back in January to protest rising home and rental prices. The encampment is supported by a group called the Boise Mutual Aid Collective, which said it was appalled the state was trying to, quote, repress the rights of people experiencing houselessness to protest, unquote. Now, the governor says the annex is littered with needles, with vomit, urine, rotting food, and feces, and that Central District Health has deemed it a public health hazard. So joining us today to talk about the protest and the lawsuit is our very own James Dawson. Jimmy, it's always good to have you on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Gemma.
So can we just go back to January, Jimmy, and how this protest started? Can you explain that?
Yeah, so it started over at Cecil Andrus Park, really, and this was very early January. Boise Mutual Aid Collective had this kind of call for action on their Instagram account, saying, you know, urgent community action needed. We want to hold a protest and camp in at the Capitol today, January 5th at noon. And they were demanding housing and end to police harassment for those who are unhoused. And they wanted major community support, bring tents, heaters, coffee, hot water, all of those things to try to keep people warm and safe during that protest. And so they eventually got moved off of Cecil Andrus Park and over onto the Capitol Annex, which has seen tent protests before. I mean, just about 10 years ago, in solidarity with the Occupy Wall Street movement, mm-hmm. Occupy Boise had a longstanding tent encampment there to basically protest what they saw as income inequality, you know, and essentially that the rich weren't paying their fair share after the 2008 financial crisis.
So, Jimmy, do we know what the protesters want exactly?
You know, it's not necessarily clear, you know, just by the Boise Mutual Aid Collective's post, you know, saying that they want housing, which we all know, if you live in the Treasure Valley, that there are strong housing needs for mm-hmm. everyone. I mean, we're not just talking about the chronically homeless, which, you know, has its own set of issues and problems and needs. But we're talking about the people who can't afford the rent that went up, you know, $400, you know, from year to year, every single time they renew, right? And so it's just a significant need. They also wanted to end police harassment of those who are unhoused. You know, we saw this kind of battle with the city for a long time over its camping ordinance, which allowed Boise police to write tickets to those who were camping outside if there were shelter space available. Of course, that's a whole nother thing we can get into if you want.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Jimmy, do we know anything about the Boise Mutual Aid Collective?
I mean, it's essentially just this community group that tries to, I guess, collect money or, you know, items that are needed in the community. I mean, lately they've been doing a whole lot of things to help those who are unhoused. We're talking about like sleeping bags, socks, things like that. They also do, you know, bail fund fundraising for people who get arrested, you know, at the protest site, for example, over on the Capitol Annex next to the Idaho Capitol. But they also, you know, have raised money for a whole lot of other causes as well.
So, Jimmy, do we know who exactly is staying in these tents at the old courthouse? And I ask that question because I think there's been some, I don't think people necessarily know, or is it a homeless encampment for people who are experiencing homelessness, or is it part of a larger protest, and these are people who are protesting and maybe do have homes elsewhere? Do we even know?
At least I don't know. And that's actually the exact issue that the lawsuit is kind of hinged around. So like I mentioned with the Occupy Boise, I guess, protest movement back in 2012, 2013, 2014, a federal judge said that the state can't, it would violate the protesters' First Amendment rights to completely clear the camp. They have the ability to erect the tents and set them up and, hang around the tents, but they're not necessarily allowed to sleep there or cook there. The state doesn't have to allow that, according to the judge's ruling and the state's interpretation of that ruling. And so, the Boise Mutual Aid Collective says that they're supporting First Amendment rights to have this encampment visible to people who are walking by, but not necessarily that people are sleeping there, which is what the state alleges. And what, police have gone in there and arrested, more than a dozen people or about a dozen people and written about twice as many citations after giving repeated warnings for people not to stay there.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, Jimmy, I drive by it Monday through Friday, in the afternoon. And it seems very low key. I see one person standing around sometimes. It seems clean. It seems really non-intrusive. Now, with that said, that's the middle of the day versus, I'm not going down there at after dark. I just happen to go by it. So therein lies the crux of it, I guess, right, Jimmy? Is that are people spending the night? Or are they actually camping, or are they just hanging out there during the day as part of this protest?
Yeah, exactly. And the police will say that they're abusing the Capitol Annex, or at least the lawsuit says they're abusing the Capitol Annex, saying they've found feces, vomit, urine, rotting food, needles, alcohol containers, cigarette butts, loose dogs that they worry will scare or potentially attack people who are walking by. And like you said at the top, the Central District Health apparently told the state that the conditions, really constitute a public health hazard. Mm. They didn't respond to a request for comments from me yesterday. The Boise Mutual Aid Collective for that claim, they said, no, the lack of affordable housing is the actual public health crisis.
So before we get into the new lawsuit, I know you've mentioned a little bit about this former lawsuit over camping in Boise. But for folks who are just joining us right now, can you give us a quick refresher once again before we go into the new lawsuit on that lawsuit, but also how that ruling in that case has impacted how Idaho State Police actually deals with this current situation?
Yeah, so that was a two-year fight. It started in 2012 near the state capitol when protesters created this encampment to, like I said, be really in solidarity with the Occupy Wall Street movement. Lawmakers and pretty immediately barred camping on state property once it was erected, and the ACLU of Idaho filed a lawsuit against then Governor Butch Otter, saying that, look, the camping measure and another rule kind of limiting these protests to just a few days was unconstitutional, which is exactly what federal judge Lynn Windmill kind of said in his 2014 permanent injunction, saying, look, you can't bar people from gathering or setting up a demonstration on state grounds. And the state has said that, we're going to do that. We're going to direct state police to give out warnings if people are camping there because they don't have to let people stay there. And they also can't, cook or start fires. There were pictures from Boise Mutual Aid Collective posted on Instagram of officers handling these propane heaters, allegedly taking them away from campers who were trying to stay warm during the night.
And we should note, Jimmy, that, as you mentioned, this is state ground that the campers are on. And because I know that there have been questions regarding, well, why isn't the city of Boise doing more about this or getting involved?
Yeah, exactly.
And it goes back to land.
Yeah, it's under state jurisdiction. The city doesn't really have any sort of ability to do that if they're, you know, on state property.
Okay, so let's turn to this new lawsuit. What do we know about it right now?
I mean, it was just filed Monday in state court, so it's very, very new. It doesn't seem like, you know, Boise Mutual Aid Collective, or at least I can't find any evidence. I asked them Tuesday if they had a lawyer. They didn't immediately get back to me, but it names them, it names several other people, and then 50 other, you know, John Doe's and Jane Doe's, which essentially is just, you know, people that they don't know who's what their names are, but they're named in the lawsuit. So, you know, it's still got plenty of legal time to go through before any sort of resolution might happen. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
So, Jimmy, I mean, some of the controversy over this whole issue stems from, you know, available shelter space for people in need. I mean, not just the fact that housing is so expensive. And so, as you mentioned, it's not always just the chronically homeless, but the fact too, that there is an argument to be made that there is not enough shelter space. So where does that fall into all of this?
Oh, I mean, there's plenty of it, because you have Interface Sanctuary and that whole issue, which I'm sure you could dedicate an hour to, right? Yeah. Where it's like, you know, they've been trying to get their new location up on State Street to open up, as opposed to their downtown River Street location. Then you have the Boise Rescue Mission, which Governor Brad Little actually cited in his press release announcing the lawsuit, saying, hey, look, you know, these people can go to the Boise Rescue Mission. There are beds available, et cetera, which is an argument that we heard during the city's whole battle with their camping ordinance. But that was actually one of the cruxes of, you know, that legal case, where the Ninth Circuit found that, look, you can't say that there are beds available at the shelter if they require religious programming to, you know, be required before they
for you to have a bed.
Get a bed. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, I don't think that argument necessarily holds water. Interface Sanctuary does not require religious programming, but they also have other requirements and much more limited space. So, you know, there's not enough shelter space. There's certainly not enough affordable housing, and there's not even enough housing for, you know, moderate income people to live in Boise, really.
Mm-hmm. And then some of the protesters, Jimmy, have said they just do not have anywhere else to go. Yet I believe the governor has said, well, that's just not true.
Yeah, and that's why he brought up, you know, the Boise Rescue Mission, which, as we said before, has strings attached, which some people may or may not want to, you know, adhere to, or it could violate their own religious faith.
So, Jimmy, where do we go from here? What's next with this lawsuit?
What's next is, I mean, you'll have some hearings. You're going to need a response from Boise Mutual Aid and all of the people named in the lawsuit. So I would imagine that's going to be weeks or, you know, a month down the road before we see that. It's also going to be interesting if any of those people who are named in the lawsuit will have a lawyer, because it's a civil suit. You know, they're not able to get a public defender. Those are only for criminal cases. So will they represent themselves? I don't know. It could just be that there is no response, and then the judge could say, okay, well, we didn't hear from the other side, so clear it up. Or they can be like, well, we didn't hear from the other side, but we think the facts of the case are fine, and, you know, this is their First Amendment right. So, lots of unknowns, lots of questions going forward for sure.
So, Jimmy, before I let you go, do we know, like, now that there is a lawsuit filed, can Idaho State Police come in and say, you know what, we're taking the protest down? Can they do that? Or is this basically just now a waiting game, and this encampment will potentially stay there until we have a resolution of this lawsuit?
As far as I know, it should just be a waiting game because they, you know, state police in their press releases have said, look, we're trying to balance the First Amendment rights of people who want to protest. We understand because of that 2014 court ruling that, you know, they are allowed to be there if they are just protesting, not sleeping. Mm-hmm. So it seems as though they'll allow that, but they will take action if people are repeatedly sleeping there. The other thing too that I forgot to mention is this has become a campaign issue. Let's not forget that you have Ammon Bundy and Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan both running, you know, high production value ads on their Facebook pages or videos saying that this is essentially like the destruction of Idaho and turning it into its own or another Seattle or Portland, which have allowed camping by those who are unhoused in certain circumstances, which Governor Brad Little put in his press release saying, no, we're not like them. We're going to take care of this issue. Obviously, he's got his hands full with that primary challenge from McGeehan and several other people, too.
Well, this is definitely a wait and see for sure. Jimmy, I appreciate your reporting on this and coming in and explaining it a little bit more to us.
Yeah, thanks, Gemma.
Up next, our medical expert, Dr. Pate, will be in to answer your questions about COVID-19. So if you have a question, get it to us, Idaho Matters at boisestate.edu.